this evening. As I'm looking across our audience, I see that there is a large segment of the Lindo Church of Christ that's gone. They're out of town. They're gone visiting family and friends. And yet at the same time, we have a whole lot of people. Matter of fact, I think we got more visitors today than we do regular members. That's great. It is so good to have all of you that are here. We hope that you feel welcome. And whenever you're back here in the Lindale area again, we hope you come back and worship God together with us again. Study with us from the Word of God anytime you're able to come and be with us. You'll notice the title of the sermon this morning, The Battle of Lindale. Now, as I look out in the audience, I see there's a whole lot of people that's not from Lindale. And so, I've got something I want you to do. I want you to take wherever it is you live, whatever congregation it is that you worship with, wherever you're from, and put that in place of Lindale. This sermon could very easily be entitled The Battle of Van, or it could be entitled The Battle of Lufkin, or it could be entitled The Battle of some part of Arizona, or The Battle of Kentucky. Wherever you are, I want you to insert where you are from in place of Lindale, because the battle is all across this country. And what we're going to be talking about in the sermon this morning is the spiritual battle each and every one of us are facing, because we live at this time in history, and this is where we live in America. I would like to begin by going over to Luke chapter 6 and in verse 26. I can get the machine to wake up. Oh, wrong way. Luke 6:26. Woe to you, and all men speak well of you. For so did their prophets to the false, their fathers to the false prophets. The text here is talking about all men speaking well of you. I am sure that you to a certain degree are like I am, and that is you would like all people to like you. You would like to have a lot of friends. Well, that's good. But what are you willing to do in order to have friends? What are you willing to do in order to be conceived and perceived as popular where you live? Are you willing to compromise your moral values? Are you willing to surrender your moral values? If I were going to think of one thing, one word, to summarize the Battle of Lindale, it would be compromise. And that is, there's a spiritual battle going on all around us. It is understood that there are people who live in this county who could care less about God and His Word. They could absolutely care less about Christianity and the moral teachings of Christ, and they're not going to have anything to do with it. That's understood. They're out there. You know them. And then there are people who profess to be Christians, and yet, obviously, they're not living it. And they live like the people who have no God at all in their life. And you know who they are. There was a time, I want those of you that are older to see if you can remember this. Do you remember when divorce was rare? Do you remember when the homosexuals were still in the closet and it was something that was very rarely, if ever, even heard of? Do you remember when drugs were still something that you knew that was going on out there, and there was just a few people, the really wild people out there in your community that were doing it? Do you remember those days? You need to realize, those that are younger, there's a lot of people here this morning that are going, you're kidding. Was it ever like that? Because that's not the way it is today, is it? In my generation, we have sown the wind and we have reaped the whirlwind. In my generation, beginning in the 60s and the 70s, with the sexual revolution and the drug revolution, you need to realize, our children now are growing up in a product of what we have created for them. They are growing up in the second and the third generations of the sexual revolution, the drug revolution. And they are being bombarded and they are being overcome by the culture. They're losing the spiritual battles right and left. And one of the primary reasons is because there are so many people now that are going into the world, going the broad way that leads to destruction, and we want to be friends with them. We want them to like us. We want to be popular at school. And we are willing to compromise in order to have these friends. We're willing to let go of our morals and Christianity in order to have these friends. Continuing in the sermon outline, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Notice the terminology here. War. It wars against your soul. There is a spiritual battle going on in each and every one of our hearts and minds. And the spoils of this war is going to determine your eternal destiny. There is a war going on for your soul's eternal destiny right now. We need to learn the word abstain. Do you get from the word abstain compromise? You can go into it a little bit. You can get involved in it. Hey, you can go along with your friend. You can go along with the world. It's not going to hurt you. You can win the spiritual battle and still go into the world. The verse says, abstain from fleshly lust. You don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. Now, again, let's just bring it home to reality of where we live today in America. How intense is the battle for your soul when it comes to the lust of the flesh? I would say it's pretty intense, isn't it? You turn on the television at all, even just to watch the football game, and you know it's in your face right and left. You want to watch television, you're just sitting here cruising, going up and down, trying to find something, you're just surfing. And as you're doing that, you know there's filth right and left. And sometimes, rather than cruise on by, we just stop and stare at it and let it soak on in. You know the battle's intense. The women's dress, every year they try to see how far they can push it, show more and more and more of their body. Every year Hollywood tries to see how much more vulgarity they can push in your face. And we sit and we watch it, and we smile at it, and we laugh at it, as it continues to destroy our children and our marriages and our families, and we smile at it and we think, hey, we can get along with this. You can't get along with Satan. There is no compromise with the world, because when you go into it, it consumes you and you lose the battle. I want you to notice these verbs here. They're describing our relationship with God in this spiritual battle. Abstain. Let's continue now. Look at the next verse here. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. To what degree of sanctification do you get from this verse? And the word sanctifies means separating from the world. To what degree of sanctification do you get from this verse? I get total separation. Come out from among them. Be separate. Don't even touch it. And yet, as I said, the battle of the compromise is, let me just sit here and watch it some. Let me sit here and get involved. And let me go with my friends. Now, you need to realize the days when virginity is popular is gone. It is laughed at. It is ridiculed. And if you're going to try to maintain your virginity because of your faith, get ready to be laughed at. Get ready to be ridiculed. Get ready to have them come after you. Now, guys, you may be able to handle this, but the girls, they're cats sometimes. I mean, they come after you. If you won't go along with the world, if you want to maintain your Christianity, get ready to be the butt of the jokes. Get ready to be separated from their company. Get ready to feel lonely and isolated. Go ahead and separate yourself from the world, though. And take the slings and the arrows. Take the laughter. Take the ridicule. Take the loneliness. Rather than compromise with the world. And you notice what happens. Sometimes the word touch, we don't just touch it. We dive in. Whenever you start thinking you can compromise and find some middle ground between the world and the church, and maintain your friendship and your relationship with God, and maintain your friendship and your relationship with the world, and you can have both of them, right? Who are you kidding? It doesn't work that way. Whenever you start thinking you can find a middle ground, you've already gone over to the other side. Let's look at some more verses on this. Look at Ephesians 5, 11 through 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. The verse we read earlier is abstain from fleshly lust. The other verses we read, separate yourself. Don't even touch it. Do not touch the unclean thing. Here again, have no fellowship. There is no middle ground of compromise. He says the last part of this, it's a shame to even speak of those things that are done by them in secret. If it's a shame to speak of the immorality that's participated out there in the world, is it a shame to watch it? Get control of your televisions. Get control of the movies you're watching. Get control of the books you're reading. Get control of your computers and what you're allowing to come into your mind and your heart through your computers. Keep your heart with all diligence, because from your heart spring all the issues of life. The battle is in our face. And if we continue just smiling at it as though it's harmless and it's not going to hurt us and our kids can deal with this, who are we kidding? We sit and we smile at the drug culture as we continue to go to the funerals year after year. We sit and we smile at the pornography and the filth as more and more marriage are pulled apart by it. We continue to smile at the sexual immorality as marriage becomes something that people don't even understand what it is at all. And we just smile at it as it continues to completely consume us. And more people that we know and love are losing their lives and their souls in these battles. This is where we are. We must open our eyes and face up to the reality of the battle. And we must be willing to stand firm and hold our ground and not compromise. Not try to find some comfortable middle ground to where we can hold on to our friends in the world thinking that this is going to work out. I can be friends with him. I can be popular and be a good, strong Christian. Look at the verses on this. James 4:4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If you're trying to keep one foot in the world, hold on to your friends in the world, think you can be friends with the world, you need to realize you've already gone over to the enemy. You already lost the battle because of the way you're thinking that there's a compromised middle ground. There is no middle ground. There is dark, there is light. There is heaven, there is hell. Choose. Because there is no middle ground. And if you try to make a middle ground, you've gone over and you've lost the battle. The next verse, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. You know this verse. How many times have you heard the verse? I'm going to tell you one of the most difficult things sometimes in life to do. I've told you this before. I'm going to tell you again because sometimes you need to be reminded. And that is to break free of your friends that are going into the world. If you have friends that are using drugs, break free of them. If you have friends that are going into sexual immorality, break free of them. Is that an easy thing to do? No. They're your friends. You care about them. You love them. You enjoy their company. But you need to realize they are pulling you into the world. One of the most difficult things to do sometimes is to withstand the slings and the arrows of the laughter and the ridicule for your faith, and to understand that if I do not go with them, I'm going to be isolated, because sometimes you start feeling there's nobody out there. There's nobody out there that's serious about Christianity, that everybody's going the broad way. Everybody's doing it. Have you ever heard your kids say, well, Mom, Dad, everybody's doing it? From their perspective, it seems like everybody is doing it. Because as I told you, there was a time when divorce was rare. Now, just about everybody you know is getting divorced. There was a time when drugs were rare. Just about everybody you know out there is using drugs. It's the norm now. It's not a part of a small group over here. It is the norm. Sex and immorality, it is the norm. Okay. We've sown the wind, we're reaping the whirlwind. Are you going to compromise with it? That's your battle, isn't it? Are you going to compromise because you want the people to like you? You want to be popular. You enjoy the friendship with these people. If you're doing that, you've lost the battle and you are now the enemy of God. And you do not want to be the enemy of God in the day of judgment. If that is describing where you are now, I implore you, as the scripture says earlier, come out from among them. Break free of that world. Break free of those friends. I know it's a difficult thing to do. But let me tell you, there are people out in the world that are real Christians that are really striving as best as they can to walk and live by faith. Men and women your age, seek them out. Form bonds and friends with them. You're not alone. Speaking about the broad way and the narrow way, there's a broad way that leads to destruction, meaning they're going there at. There's a narrow way, difficult way, that leads to eternal life. The verse does not say, and nobody's going that way. Sometimes you may feel like nobody's going that way, but few there be that find it. Seek out those few and form friendship and bonds with them. Matthew 13:22 describes another part of the battle of Lindell. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. How many of you feel overwhelmed by how many things that are calling out your name, wanting your time and wanting your attention? There's a cross-reference for this verse that you'll find over in Luke 8:14, puts it this way. Of the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they hear hurt, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, a reality of living in Lindell, Texas, in America, is that we live in the wealthiest nation on earth. And as a consequence of that, we have all kinds of things that we're having to take care of. You got to take care of your cars, and you got to have car insurance. And you got to have health insurance and homeowners insurance. You got anything, you got to have insurance for it. I don't know how they figured out to do that, but you got to have insurance for everything you got and everything you do. And then you got all these things that require you to fix it. Fix the car, take care of your body, get the health insurance, go get the medicine, go to the doctor. I hate going to the doctor. Maybe I'll just give them everything. Is that where you are? And at the same time, when all these things that you've got to take care of, you're juggling all these responsibilities. Go to school, take this class, fix this, take care of your wife, take care of your husband, take care of your children. Juggle, 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 juggle. And in the middle of you juggling all these things, someone else says, will you take care of this for me? Okay. And then somebody else comes along, will you take care of this for me? Yeah, okay. And you're trying to juggle it all. And things are hitting the ground right and left. And in the middle of all this, God says, put me first. And what happens in the American culture is God becomes a small part of our life. And we're like, thank you, God. I appreciate what you've done. I know you love me, but I ain't got time. I got to go. I got so many things I got to take care of. Does that describe your life sometime and your relationship with God? That you get going so fast that the cares of this world, even though you may have faith, it chokes it out. And you become unfruitful and your relationship with God dwindles and dies because you're juggling and trying to catch all the things that you got to take care of. Job says in Job 21:15, who is the Almighty that we should serve Him? And what profit do we have if we pray to Him? Sometimes you'll find that people get to this point and the idea in their mind is, I ain't got time for God. I got too many things I got to do that's really important. Well, what purpose and what is there in serving God when I need to go out and I need to get more money and I need to get more income and I need to get more stuff and I got to take care of all the stuff that I'm taking care of and keep bringing in here. And you're juggling, you're juggling, you're juggling, you're juggling, you're juggling, you keep bringing in more things to take up your time and your life. And what purpose is there in serving God? What purpose is there in going to worship services? What purpose is there in praying? I ain't got time. I got to go. See you later. Ephesians says in chapter 5:15-16, see them that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil, making the most of every opportunity. And this is talking about in your relationship with God. Please understand, in Christianity, God is not a part of your life. If you think of this and your relationship with God to where I got to take care of my job, I got to take care of my work, I got to pay all these bills and the bills are overwhelming me, how can I take care of everything? And I'll stick God in there somewhere. If that's the way you think about it, God's not even on the list. God does not want to be a part of your list. He wants to be the center of your life around which everything is built and structured. Christianity is not a casual relationship with God. It is an all-consuming relationship with God, to where God is at the center of how you work in your job. God is at the center of how you treat your family. God is at the center of how you treat your own body. God is at the center of everything in your life. He's not part of your life. He is your life. Look at this again in Matthew 6. 32 to 34. And after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now the context here is dealing about all the things you're worrying about. I'm worrying about my clothing. I'm worrying about my shelter. I'm worrying about what I got to eat. I'm worrying about surviving and taking care of all the things in life. He says here in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus first on your relationship with God. Keep God first, foremost, always. And God will see to it that the physical necessities are taken care of. I got a question before I leave this. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Lord is in your life, that His hand will mold and shape and influence the things that are happening in your life? You seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Relationship with God first. Do not lose focus of the relationship with God as you get consumed with the cares of the world. That's the battle we face in this fast-paced American world. Continue now. There's another battle that we face. Ephesians 5, 6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Deception. Empty words. I'm glad whenever these children graduate from high school, it's all fine and good. But then they start talking about, well, I'm going to A&M, I'm going to UT, you're going wherever you're going. And whenever you start telling me you're going off to the universities, I don't mind telling you, I'm terrified for you. Because I know that you're going to be going into an environment where you are going to be bombarded with deceptive words to try to destroy your faith in the inspiration of the Bible and the deity of Jesus Christ, to try to completely destroy you and take you away from God. I've seen it happen time and time and time and time again. Where they go, oh, you think the pressure's hard in Lindell? You go to any college in campus. Any college campus. Any state university. I went to a whole bunch of them. Mississippi State was close to Sodom and Gomorrah I've ever been. It was the most ungodly place I've ever been. And the lady last week told me, Mississippi State's a good conservative school, isn't it? And I just started laughing at her. Because her son's going there. But it's that way at any of the state schools. You think the drug pressure is hard in Lindell? Go to College Station. Go to Austin. It's more intense. And at the same time, they're going before professors that are trying to shove evolution down their throat. Trying to shove relativism and political correctness down their throat. Socialism down their throat, right and left. All kinds of liberalism, which is intended to totally destroy whatever faith they may have. You don't have to go to the universities. All you got to do is turn on television. How many of you like Animal Planet? Okay, that's my mother's favorite channel. But invariably, whenever you watch it sooner or later, you're going to hear billions and billions of years ago, before this particular thing evolved. You can't even go watch a nature show without having this stuff shoved in your face that there is no God and that you evolved. You need to realize that's the battle of our time that our young people and our adults are facing. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Continue again in Colossians 2 and 4. Now this I say, lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words. Oh, they can sound very persuasive. Very intelligent. These people know what they're talking about. And as a consequence of their PhD and their deception, they are destroying multitudes of people's faith right and left. Continuing again in Romans 16, 18. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. One of the things we are trying to do here and now is get you to where you are not simple-minded. We want you to know before you leave the Lindell Church of Christ and before you go to college what you believe and why you believe it. We want you to know what you believe about God and why you believe it. We want you to know what you believe about the Bible being the Word of God and why you believe it. We want you to know what you believe about Jesus being the Christ, the Son of God, and why you believe it. We want you grounded firmly in your own faith so that whenever you have the deceptive word being pushed in your face, you will know the truth. I don't want to hear any more of these young people burning up in college because of some professor lying to them and them being deceived by the flattering, smooth words of the professors. So, how do we win the victory? 1 John 5:4, we'll close with these last three verses. But whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. How are we going to be able to stand in a culture where we're being onslaughted right and left with the lust of the flesh, with drugs and alcohol all around us, with the majority of the people going the broad way that leads to destruction? How can we have the victory? Our faith. As I told you, what we need to be doing here in this congregation is getting each and every member of this congregation grounded firm in their own personal relationship with God. You do not want your faith to be in your parents. You do not want your faith to be in people you like. You want your faith and your trust to be in God and His Son. And you want it as strong as possible. Because if you go into the battle and you do not have strong faith, you will lose the battle. Look at this again in Ephesians 6:13-17. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The text here is talking about putting on the whole armor of God so that we can stand in the middle of the battle in the evil day. And he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, truth. And continuing in the text here, he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We're not going to entertain you at the Lindell Church of Christ. That's not what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do is teach you how to use your weapons. Teach you about putting on the whole armor of God, strengthening your faith as strong as we can, so that you can put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one and not go into the world with compromise and not be deceived by the lies and not get caught up in the cares of this world, but have a strong relationship with God. Your relationship with God. We're trying to teach you how to use the sword of the Spirit. To seek out and find the scriptures that fit your spiritual battles and put them to your memory. So the next time you find yourself attacked by the enemy, you pull your sword from the sheath and you say, "It is written." And you learn to defend yourself as a soldier of Christ so that you can and will stand in the evil day and not lose your spiritual battles. We'll close with John 17:14-19. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. As I try to point out to you, if you're not going to go along with the crowd, the broad way that leads to destruction, do not be surprised when they hate you. Because you are letting your light shine. Because you will not go along with them. Because you will not compromise, and they know it's because of your faith, you will be hated. The text says in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. God does not expect you to move to a small spot in Texas away from everybody. He expects you to stand your ground in Lindell, Texas, or in Arizona, or Lufkin, or wherever it is you're from. He expects you to stand your ground surrounded by the world and its darkness, surrounded by the world and its immorality and temptations. He expects you and I to stand firm, holding on to our faith with the word and the weapons He has given us. Getting back to the text, it says in verse 16 and following, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent them into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Let's tie all this together now. I've done as best as I can to describe to you the battle of Lindell. I want to help you understand how to win the battle. The way you win the battle, the way you have the victory over the world is your faith. Not my faith, not your mom and dad's faith, not some of the brethren here's faith, your faith. Where your faith comes from is the Word. Reading about the birth of Jesus, reading about the miracles of Jesus, reading about His crucifixion and His resurrection. Faith comes through hearing and hearing through the Word of God. Go to the Word and read it to strengthen your faith, because without your faith, you will not win the battle. Put on the whole armor of God in evil day. Learn how to use your spiritual weapons. Find the scriptures that fit your spiritual struggles. Put them to memory. And the next time you find yourself being attacked, whatever area it may be, pull the sword from the sheath and say, "It is written." And you can stand in the evil day. He has given us His Word to sanctify us, to keep us separated from the world. Come out from among them. Separate yourself from the world. Touch not the unclean thing. Abstain from it. Have no fellowship with it. And remain separated from it. By your faith. By your faith. What we're trying to do here is strengthen that faith as strong as we can, giving you a good working knowledge of the Scriptures so that you will be able to withstand the evil day and win the battle of Lindell. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to openly confess your faith and repent of your sins, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. If you're a child of God, and what I was describing to you earlier about the world is describing your life to where, rather than separating from the world, you have compromised with it and gone into the world, I want to implore you to come out from among them. Separate yourself. I know it's difficult to break free of your friends, but there are young men and women, and men your age, whatever age you are, who are serious about trying to serve the Lord by faith. But we as your brethren right now, we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song.